Malcolm here, and welcome to Quiet Time Coaching, episode 20. And today we're talking about how to avoid the dangers of drifting. Now, drifting is dangerous in most circumstances in life, but what about spiritual drifting? What can we do about it? How dangerous is it? And how can we recognize the signs of spiritual drifting? Not long before Christmas, my father was driving home from church. He's a priest at a local village church in Kent. And he's driving home after the service. He went around a bend in this narrow, on this narrow Kent country lane, and had the surprise of his life when he saw a car coming towards him on his side of the road. The driver had drifted over to his side. My father took quick evasive action, did his best to avoid a collision, pulled over to the left side of the road as far as he could. Unfortunately, his little Skoda wasn't able to stand up to the collision with the Land Rover Discovery, which is a much larger vehicle, and they did collide. Luckily, my father was not injured, very shaken up, but not injured. The car, however, was a different matter. It had to be extensively repaired, took a long time to get back. The driver of the other car happened to be a member of the congregation where my father was the priest, so they admitted full liability. They were on the wrong side of the road. It was their fault. It'd be hard for a member of the church to lie to their own priest, I imagine, about who caused the accident. It was all sorted out amicably in the end, if a bit scary at the time. But there's the danger of just a little bit of drifting, and we are on the narrow road, it says in the scripture. So how do we avoid spiritual drifting? I'm going to talk a bit about this today. Now, there's a warning in Hebrews. It's on my mind because I'm teaching and preaching through Hebrews at the moment. It says this in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. The most careful attention. We must pay so that we don't drift away. Drifting is a danger for anybody. If it was a danger for first century followers of Jesus, it is surely no less of one today, and it affects our devotional life. And these recordings are primarily about how to have a good devotional life. Good times of prayer and Bible study and just knowing that you're in the presence of God, feeding from God, listening to God. And drifting can diminish the effectiveness of our quiet times. And perhaps if we drift enough, even stop us desiring to be in the presence of God in a focused and concentrated way, as we talk about in these recordings. So how do we deal with that? So this kind of drifting isn't often intentional. I don't suppose the driver intended to drift to the wrong side of the road. It comes from a Greek word here, the word drift. The Greek word is parario. And in the context here, it means gradually giving up a belief in the truth. But in other contexts, it can describe a boat drifting away on the water because it's not been moored properly, or a ring slipping off a finger. This has happened to me in the past, although not these days. This ring, this wedding ring on this hand, is not going to slip off. I'd have to tug quite hard to get that off, but a ring can slip off the finger, or water leaking out of a damaged jar. So it's that leaking, drifting, slipping that the writer is referring to in Hebrews chapter 2. So how do we know when we're drifting? Isn't that the big question? Now, when I taught this class, I asked people that were listening, how do you know for yourself when you are drifting? What are your symptoms that you're aware of? So this is a point about self-awareness. Really, the key to not drifting is some healthy self-awareness. And so people said things like this: I know I'm drifting when I'm trying to control everything. I know I'm drifting when I get frustrated. I know I'm drifting when I stop reading my Bible. I know I'm drifting when I avoid people. Do those sound familiar to you? Are those some of your symptoms? Do you have others of your own? For some of mine, I shared this in the class, some of mine are when I stop answering my phone. So when my phone rings and I hear it ring or I see it ring, and I don't answer it. I mean, sometimes I can't answer it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about I could answer it, but I can't be bothered right now. That's a sign I'm drifting. Or, for example, when I get inappropriately angry over really trivial things, really trivial. Or when I'm reading my Bible but I'm not feeling the message. It's not affecting me in my heart and in my mind enough to really affect a change of mood, of feeling, of understanding, of behavior. Nothing really shifts because it's not hitting home. So those are some for me. What about you? Do you have some that you already know about yourself that are signs when you are drifting? The first thing is we must know our own symptoms. And then we can set up some defenses against drifting. So what might those be? Well, I would say three areas of listening. Three areas of listening will prevent drifting. The first is to listen to God. If you've read the book of Hebrews, you'll know that the writer keeps urging them, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the desert. That's a quote from Psalms that we see mentioned in Hebrews chapter 3, for example. He says that in verse 7 and in verse 15. We must be in a mode of desiring to listen to God. So this is more than just about reading the Bible. It's about listening to it. So my suggestion is this. Don't just read and move on. Read, then pause. Pause and ask yourself, have I really heard what God is saying to me here? Am I really listening to what God is trying to convey to me in this passage, in this verse? Ask yourself the question, what's relevant in this passage for me today, right now? Or a better question might be to ask God directly, what are you teaching me today, Father? How about that as a prayer? Father, I've just read this passage. I've just read this verse. I've read it, but what I want to know from you, God, is what are you telling me? My spiritual ears are open. Please show me your will. A prayer like that puts us in a position to truly listen to God. So that's the first one, listen to God. The second is to listen to friends. And you'll know again in Hebrews, the writer is keen on helping his readers listen to one another. He urges them in Hebrews chapter 3 and again in chapter 10 and other passages to see to it that none of you has this and see to it that and encourage one another. It's important to the writer and important to the people he's writing to that they listen to one another. They're involved in each other's lives. We really need to listen to one another. Proverbs chapter 27, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Are we listening to our friends? Other passages, Galatians 4 verse 16, Ephesians 4 verse 15, and so on. Are you listening to your friends? They see you from a different angle. You see yourself just in a mirror. They see the other angles. They may be able to help you to prevent spiritual drifting. Are you listening? Not being defensive, but really inviting. Okay, tell me what you see. Tell me what you notice. Listen to God. Listen to your friends. And thirdly, strangely enough perhaps, listen to yourself. Listen to you. We need to pay attention to that voice inside, the voice of the conscience saying, pay attention, you're drifting. Are you listening to what's really going on inside? I know the conscience is not always, sometimes it's an infallible guide. Paul gives us warning of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where he says, my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. Fair enough. That's not our only guide. That's why we need to listen to God and to other people as well. But we do need to pay attention to what's going on inside our own hearts. And again, that takes a moment of pausing, doesn't it? Of just stopping for a moment, shutting out the noise and the busyness, all the visuals and all the stuff we hear, and saying, what's actually going on inside my heart? Some spiritual meditation, some spiritual mindfulness is very helpful in recognizing the symptoms of drifting. James chapter 3 and chapter 4 talk about the danger of not paying attention to what's going on inside the heart. We are responsible. So I would say this in conclusion. To some degree, drifting is inevitable as a Christian. I don't think it's avoidable. Well, we will all drift from time to time. Only Jesus did not. However, the extent of drifting, the duration of the drifting is within our control. Once we recognize drifting is going on, we can stop it continuing. That's the good news. The good news is that once we recognize it, there can be an end to it. Drifting is inevitable, but it going on forever and ever is not inevitable. There's good news that we have God's help to help us with this. We have other people's help, and we have our own heart's help. Even though the heart can be deceitful, we've been given a new heart by the power of the Spirit, and so the heart, your own heart, can help you to recognize and stop drifting when it's started. So let me finish here with a question to you. What helps you when you find yourself drifting? What helps you to stop the drifting? What helps you to recognize it? What helps you to deal with it in a healthy way? What things have I not mentioned that you find useful? Or what questions arise in your mind as to other things that might help us with drifting, or questions about drifting? I would love to know your thoughts. So please leave a comment anywhere you hear or see this recording. Leave it publicly so that other people can see your ideas, because we learn best when we learn in community. So until the next time, I hope you have a wonderful set of quiet times coming up. I hope that your next quiet time, your next prayer time, your next Bible study, I pray that it's a time when you really can hear God's voice. And if you feel you have been drifting, that you will stop the drifting, because with God's help, we can be strong. We can be confident in our salvation. We can be sure of our inheritance. So take care, and God bless.